So if you want to take out your Bible, hopefully you've got an amplified Bible tonight. And I know I've reversed the order, but that's what I heard. To just obey and to sing that song over and over until it was time to give you the word. Now the word is based on something that's been pounded home in my heart for quite a while, but that song goes back to Grace Church. I can't tell you how many times we sang it over the number of years that I was there, but it had a lot of meaning and a lot of truth. So we're going to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And I'm using the Amplified because without the Amplified, this is just going to be a normal little scripture. But the Amplified's about to knock you over, I pray, from where you've been to where you need to go. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Matthew chapter 10 has an awful, a big amount of, let's say, valuable tidbits. So I would definitely entice you to kind of look at this chapter in the Amplified, and it'll give you some goosebumps, hopefully. I want to give you verse 16. Lo, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wary and wise as serpents, and be innocent, harmless, and guileless, and without falsity as doves. 17, be on guard against the men whose ways or nature is to act in opposition to God. For they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues. So he's giving them a warning. Verse 18, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness to bear testimony before them and to the Gentiles, meaning the nations. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what you are to speak. Got that one, John? For what you are to say will be given you in that very hour and moment. So I was excited about your testimony because I was studying this today, saying, okay, God. 20. For it is not you who are speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
Amen.
Amen.
Try it on. Verse 20. For it is not me
who
is speaking,
but the Spirit of my Father
speaking through me. Or singing through me. Yeah. It's not a different spirit. It's the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. Brothers will deliver a brother to death, and father his child, and children will take a stand against their parents and will have them put to death. I mean, what a prophetic word. And verse 22 should hit you home pretty deep. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who perseveres and endures to the end will be saved from spiritual diseases and death in the world to come. I don't think I would agree with that last addition, because it seems to me sometimes the translators on this particular version, they add their own ideas. And so they're kind of using that concept to kind of nullify the moment of the Lord. Okay? So keep that in mind. Verse 23. When they persecute you in one town, that is, pursue you in a manner to injure you and cause you to suffer because of your belief, flee to another town. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor is a servant or slave above his master. It is sufficient for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant or slave like the master, or his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, meaning master of the dwellings, how much more will they speak evil of those of his household? And it goes on. So have no fear of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, or kept secret that will not become known. 28 says, and do not be afraid of those who kill the body, etc. But now I'm going to take you into the purpose of this particular chapter, in my understanding of what he wants to do tonight. Verse 39. Whoever finds his lower life will lose the higher life. Whoever loses his lower life on my account will find the higher life. That one was part of Sue O'Mara's teaching. And in one of the CDs, she brings this out, and I re-listened to it several times, and it's not something I didn't know. But the way she brings it out is to make you aware of how important your spiritual life is. Whoever finds his lower life will lose the higher life. In other words, if you're 100% focused on what you can discern out of your head, out of your natural mind, out of your natural learning, you're going to be totally losing the power of the Spirit within you, and you're nullifying the ability of God to function through you. And whoever loses his lower life, meaning the natural life, on Christ's account, will find the higher life. In other words, you can pray that prayer and say, God, I really believe that as I know my lower life becomes 100% of my attention, my spiritual life is now lowered. But if I say, God, take my lower life and eliminate it, let it die, so that my higher life, my spiritual life, will go even higher than I've ever tasted before. Now I'm going to confirm it. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. Jesus called to him the throng with his disciples and said to them, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself. Forget, ignore, disown, lose sight of himself and his own interests, and take up his cross. And joining me as a disciple and siding with my party, follow with me continually, that is, cleave steadfastly to me. 35 should have a circle around it, because that's the confirming vision. For whoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose the lower natural temporary or temporal life, which is lived only on earth. How specific is that one? And whoever gives up his life, which is lived only on earth, for my sake and the gospel's, will save his higher spiritual life in the eternal kingdom of God. Take that one to the bank. Take it to the bank. You know why? Because that spells the purpose of the house of prayer. That spells it out so clearly. Because when you and I are so focused on what God can do for me, or the me, myself, and I, you know that that's idolatry. You and I idolize certain things as men and women of God, even. Churchianity has been going nowhere for 2,000 years.
Amen.
They've had a few spots where they actually burst through the natural thinking. And the anointing came. And when that anointing came, they poo-pooed it to death. And I can tell you, I experienced that. I experienced it when I went to North East Hampton in the early 90s. And the anointing of holy laughter came. And I mean, I watched people getting delivered. I watched people walking around on the floor and repenting of their sin, changing their minds. And you know what? The leaders said that wasn't God. They said it was the devil. Well, when does the devil deliver himself? Tell me. He's so cut down that anointing that the man was literally pulled out of town and pushed out of town. And I watched because, you see, anybody that has anything to do with deliverance and watching people get set free, you recognize when the enemy is barking. And you know it's not the person. And they said, oh, this can't be God. Rodney Howard Brown has a ministry that went all over the world after that. But he started just a few miles from here. Why did he come here, of all places, to start something new just to be crucified? Okay? Why? Do you ever think of why? Do you ever think of why he wanted to break through in the hopeless places? Think about it. Why would he choose? Why would God send him to Massachusetts? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Logically, right? Oh, it can't be God. I remember seeing and hearing people right at the church where I was. Oh, it can't be God. No, it can't be controlled is what they really were saying. And if it can't be controlled, we don't want it. Whew, that's scary. When you and I have to submit to the flesh in order to satisfy religion, we're in trouble. And I know I'm preaching right now, and I'm aware of what I'm saying. But I'm not going to let it go because, you see, that scripture right there tells you that God wants your inner life, your spirit man, to be in full control. And not part-time, full-time. Not while you're just in church. He wants you full of the Holy Ghost everywhere you go and every minute of your day and every minute of your night. If the Holy Ghost wakes you up at 3 a.m. and you say, yes, Lord, what now? What do you want me to do? Is there somebody in trouble? Is there somebody that needs a prayer right now? Can I do it? Yes. I'll be glad to do it, Lord. Oh, my God, if I haven't slept all X 8 hours, I'm not going to be normal. How many hours did you sleep the other night? Maybe 3 or 4, if you're lucky. You know what? When you're tired, your body and your brain takes a break. And your spirit man rises because he doesn't need to sleep. Yes or no?
Yeah. Even when I was exhausted the past few days, every morning waking up or night waking up, my spirit is singing as I wake up.
Ah. Why would your spirit be singing?
Because he can.
Because he can. Yes, because he can.
And not submitting to the man.
How is
it?
The
same experience.
All right.
During the night.
So. During the night. Singing.
Praying.
Praying. Yeah, same here. Okay. Why? Because he's got needs to be met. And he's the one that should be directing your day and night.
not you giving him instructions on how to do things. Right. See, when I started the prayer line, God anointed me to put a couple of scriptures to work. And in fact, I found one of the cards, believe it or not, from the prayer line just a few days back. And I was looking at it to see what God did with a kid who knew nothing. I mean, you know, my knowledge of the word was very low. But you know what? He didn't have a problem because I had a mouth available to him. That's what he uses. A mouth available to him. Ears that hear and then willingly say yes. That's what he wants. And if he says, hey, look, you're going to get persecuted, bring him in. I remember sitting in Gino's office about 8 months after I was on the prayer line. And I said, I have very specific instructions that every person that I counsel will get a cassette of our conversation and our prayer time together, and that whole session will be taped. He says, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean? He said, we'll get sued. I said, let him sue us. He said, why? I said, because it's God's word that's going to get sued, not me. Because I'm going to give them the advice of what the Lord says. And if his word can't stand up in court, we better shut this whole thing down because it's all a fake.
Amen. Come on.
Well, it's true.
Yes.
If you and I can't stand on God's truth and give it as advice to people, then we're in trouble. Amen.
Amen? Amen.
Again, read 35. For whoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose the lower natural temporal life. What he's saying is get rid of my natural stuff. Get it out of my way. And I want to live in the earth like Jesus did. That's what it says.
Amen.
And whoever gives up his life, which is lived only on earth for a very short period of time, for the sake of the gospel and the sake of Jesus, will save his higher spiritual life in the eternal kingdom of God. I mean, hey, that is good news.
Amen.
So look at one of your neighbors right now. Just look him in the eye. Say, get a clue.
Get a clue.
Your spirit man is eternal.
Your spirit man is eternal.
It's not a part-time spirit.
It's not a part-time spirit.
It's a full-time spirit.
It's a full-time spirit.
Available to all of us.
Available to all of us.
And that includes you.
And that includes you.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, that's right, John. Done. Done deal. Take it out of the oven. Bring it to the bank. And it'll hold up in court.
Come on.
Seeing what you and I have available to us, and we've done some of this stuff. But I believe God wants us to go a lot higher and a lot deeper than we've ever gone before. Because you know what? What we did last year was for last year. Amen?
Amen.
What's for this year is brand new. We've got an adventure ahead of us. So this is the first Wednesday night, but it could be another one. Yeah, it could be. Okay? There was a small group in Pensacola, Florida. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
That prayed for the kingdom of God to have its way in that church. Yes?
Yep.
Okay, that's on record, by the way. I've met that pastor, too. Listened to quite a few of his words. In fact, he's my brother and my sister-in-law's pastor. And so I went there. I watched what they did. I saw 7 days a week, every single week of the year, for years, the anointing in that church was so awesome. And I mean, people were falling under the power of God on the streets of Pensacola.
That's right.
Okay? 3 o'clock in the morning, my brother and I are driving. We're going to the donut place. I mean, there's a person trying to get out of the car. They fall on the floor, on the ground. The police are going with their sirens saying, he's not drunk. He's just coming out of church. And I mean, yay! This is God.
Code
yes.
77. Huh? Code 77 on Main Street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And so, you know, when you have that ability to get ready for what he wants done, if your natural brain is still in control, what are you going to do? You're going to miss out. You will really miss out. I can tell you without hesitation, we went to a special church revival meeting up in Albany. It was me, Judy Norrett, and Pauline, her mother, and I forgot, there might have been one more person. I don't remember who the other person was.
Is it Kathy?
It might have been Kathy, yes.
Gail.
Gail, you came with us. Okay. We get out of the service, okay, and Judy can't walk. Literally, Judy cannot walk. Now, Judy, good-sized person. We pick her up, and the three of us are trying to carry her. And, you know, you can see her legs are just going in several directions. We should have had a wheelchair, but we didn't. So we get to the car, and she is under that anointing, and she's laughing and laughing and laughing. And she falls on her knees because she's got one of those vans that has the sliding door. Sliding door opens, and she plops right there. Now, I swear to God, we probably were in the parking lot maybe half an hour trying to get her in. Every time we would get a little bit of energy into her, she'd go back into and laugh. Then she announces that we have to have gas to come home. I said, Judy, you got to be kidding me. You didn't fill up the tank before we... No, I didn't have time. I would have been late. So now she's got a brand new Ford, whatever it was, and I can't open the gas tank for all the money in the world. It's got a lock on it. She's trying to tell me how to do it, and she'd laugh and laugh and laugh. And it's by this time, who knows what time in the morning. You remember that part?
I wasn't there. I rode with Pauline and her mother.
Well, Pauline and her mother was with me. So it might have been a different night.
Must have been, because I don't recall that.
Oh, it was unbelievable. The gas attendant was looking at us like, are you guys high on something? I says, yeah, we're high on Jesus. Well, that didn't make any sense to him. You know, and finally, God gave her enough energy to get out of the car or the van and show me what to do. It was a trick type of thing that you had to do. And if you didn't know how to do it, even with the key, I couldn't unlock it. So how can you put gas in it if you can't get the gas cap off? So all I can tell you is the Holy Spirit was in full charge. And we didn't try to stop him. We didn't try to control him. Are you ready to let him have full authority in you? And if you are, be ready for some wild rides. You know why? Because he loves you. It's not make-believe about his love for you. It's not make-believe that he doesn't, you know, just sit back and do your dictates. It's not God. Your dictates are going to be coming out of the natural understanding of what you've learned out of the book. And I can tell you this. I've learned this book to a degree, but I never relied on what I learned to go forward. I relied on what he said to do inside my heart. That's the secret. What you hear in your heart, and John gave you that tonight. He heard in his heart, don't give up now. Why? Because if you gave up then, would you have made it to 5 o'clock?
No.
So you can have the Holy Spirit overrule your mind. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. So now you know why that song is important, right? Sing it again.
Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus. Walk walk in the Spirit of the Lord, you'll see the King. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you will find Him.
He's resurrected.
He's resurrected in His body. He lives in me.
Do it again.
Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, you'll see the King. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you will find Him. He's resurrected.
Come on.
In His body, He lives in us.